you bow your heads for a word of prayer? Gracious God, our Father, we come thanking you for the gift of life. As always, we are grateful for what you have done. You've done so much for us. Just this day, you woke us up this morning. We were in our right minds. We had the health and the strength to come to your house. And now we are seated in pews that we do not own, for everything belongs to you. The air that we're breathing right now is yours. You've given us the ability to think and hear, and we want to say thank you. We ask your forgiveness, God, if we stepped into your house and never acknowledged you. We spoke to everybody on our pew. We nodded to those in front and behind us. But some of us, God, gathered here without at least acknowledging you for waking us up. But right now, we ask your forgiveness. And we ask that you clear our hearts and minds from any and everything that's troubling us. From any concerns that we have for the upcoming week, for what we're going to eat once service is over, clear our minds that we might be able to distinctively and clearly hear from you. God, I'm asking that you not only bless me, but bless my neighbor. For the person in front and behind me, on my left and on my right, I don't know what they brought in with them this morning, but I do believe that they're in the right place. So just as you provide me with what I need, I'm praying that you provide my neighbor with that as well. And Lord, if the word isn't for me, I'm praying for my neighbor. If the word doesn't suit my favor, I'm praying for my neighbor, and free me up to still worship you, even though it may not pull up on my street. We thank you, dear God, for this preaching moment. Bless all who are within the sound of my voice. Even bless me as I stand here to proclaim your word. Decrease me and you increase inside of me. And I pray that after all is said and done, we will be able to live out our faith while we are here on earth. We thank you and we praise you for this preaching moment. If there is someone here who's not saved, someone who doesn't have a church home at the conclusion of this message, I just pray that somehow through your spirit, you move through them, give them the feet to come down, the faith to come down, surrender their life to you, connect up with this church, so that they might have the inheritance that you've promised to all of us. We thank you and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you all are happy to be alive? Amen. I'm from East Orange, and I'm just going to talk to y'all like I talk to my people. Amen. It's difficult sometimes sitting in that chair looking at some of these faces, because some of y'all look like y'all'd rather be anywhere except the house of God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and you ought to rejoice and be glad in it, because you could be in Hackensack University right now. You could be in a nursing home right now. They could be embalming your body right now. But by the grace of God, he woke you up this morning to give you an opportunity. Come on, y'all ready to have church? Come on. Then give God some praise, for he is worthy. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. 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 I tell Messiah, the longer y'all sit there and stare, the longer I'm going to preach. I get a whole lot of amens after that. Amen. I do want to thank God for this opportunity and sharing with you Mount Olive, to Pastor Jackson in his absence, to all of my colleagues in ministry who are here. God bless you. To our two worship leaders, God bless you, Brother Spellman and Jackson. God bless y'all, brothers. Amen. Thank you so much. This is just a privilege and an honor to share with you on this Young Adult Sunday. I feel good. I'm going to tell you why. Because a couple of months ago, I got a call, and they said, we'd like for you to preach the Young Adult Service. Amen. I'm getting close to 50. Amen. And I thank God when I can do. You know, when I first started preaching, I got all youth services. I was a youth day preacher. Amen. And then I wasn't getting invited to too much of anything. Amen. Then I became the usher's day preacher. Amen. And now I'm thinking, Lord, I'm getting close to 50, and I ain't been invited to no youth services, no young adult. So when y'all called me, I had a big smile on my face when I hung up. Amen. Because someday soon, I'm going to be invited to Senior Appreciation Day. Amen. So I'm taking advantage of this Young Adult Sunday. Come on, Mount Olive. Give some praise for your young adults. Amen. Amen. It's good to see young adults in church. Amen. I always say young adults because young people, children, really don't have a choice. Or at least they didn't when I was growing up. So you always had children in church, and you always had adults. But it's the young adults, those enough who are old enough to say, I ain't going. But if you got some young adults in church, you ought to thank God for it, because they will soon be in the positions that you are in right now. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful to share with you this day. There is a word that God has placed on my heart, but I would be remiss. Let me just, and rarely do I give shout outs, but Brother John Craig is my barber and my friend. I don't know where he is, but I just got to give him a shout out. Amen. Amen, Brother John Craig. Amen. If I don't, the next time y'all see me, I might have a big skin in my head or something. So, but I thank my brother and his lovely wife, Regina. God bless you. I love them like family. They are family to me. The scripture has already been read for your hearing, but I do want to focus in again on Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already achieved my goal or arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to focus in on verse number 13. Most instances, preachers who have preached from this text focus primarily in on verse 14. I press on. But I want to focus in on the piece where Paul says, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Just turn to your neighbor and just tell him, I forgot. I forgot. Amen. That's what I want to talk about just for the next couple of minutes. I forgot. I forgot. Even if you're not a sports fan, I do believe that this story can connect up with you in some manner. This past Tuesday, the football world was rocked when the news, the Denver Broncos owner, Pat Bowlen, was retiring from his position because of the early stages of Alzheimer's. Pat Bowlen was one who took that franchise, a losing franchise, and made it not only into a Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl winner, but they became a first-class franchise. And what sadness was across the airwaves this past Tuesday as sportscasters and announcers and former players began to talk about how disappointing it was that he would not be able to serve in his position. And as I thought about it, I realized that I guess the older we get, sooner or later, all of us are going to have our memories slowly seep away. It makes no difference how many books you read, or how many games you play, how many apps you download on your tablet to keep your mind sharp. Age just has a way of catching up with us. And the best and the brightest and the smartest eventually just begin to forget some things. All of us will have to face that even if you haven't. But the amazing thing is, from the moment we are taught our ABCs, the moment we're taught to tie our shoelaces, parents, guardians, loved ones have always taught us certain things never to forget. Growing up, we were taught as small children, we learned our home address and our telephone number. Because in case of emergency, should always know where you live and never forget how to call home. only to get older, hang out with our friends, and forget to call home. During the Middle Ages, we are taught to always do our homework, and many of us burnt the midnight oil, completing all assignments, only to wake up the next morning late, running to get to the bus stop, get to the class in which we prepared the assignment for, and then realize we forgot it at home. A teen in some age, 16, 17, gets the responsibility of having a house key. Parents tell them, now listen, this is the key that unlocks our home. Guard it with your life. And they take that key, put it in a pocket or a bag, leave it in a locker in gym class, and then come home standing on the outside of the door waiting for you to get home because they forgot the key. And then we fast forward. Spouses and significant others have been given the responsibility of paying bills, only to get a call from a collection agency, or a shut-off notification from PSENG, only to realize that you forgot to pay the bill. I'm talking to somebody this morning. I know you may not want to admit it, but even right now, you forgot to pay that cable bill. Yes, you did. And then when our steps get slower, our eyesight gets dim, our hair becomes gray, there are just things that we just simply forget. We simply forget just the small things. We forget names. We forget places. We forget events. But we're always taught never to forget. And I do believe that the lesson was taught properly, but I just believe we've learned it in the wrong way. I believe that there are some things we forget, but other things we never forget. Now, I believe that many of us in here, we've never gotten over and we've never forgotten the hurts. You never got over what your parents did to you or what they said to you while you were growing up. And now, as an adult, you still live with those haunting words of what they said to you as you tried to discover who you were and the destiny that life had for you. Some of you have never forgotten what a family member has done to you. Violated you in a manner that broke the family bond. You kept it to yourself, or maybe you shared it with the family, but they did not respond accordingly. And regardless of the church services you come to, regardless of the prayer meetings you attend, you still haven't forgotten what they did to you. There is someone here reminiscing and recalling what your teacher said. Too dumb, too dark, too fat, too skinny. You'll never excel in life because of how you look and your appearance. Those words have haunted you, and you haven't reached the upper echelon that you possibly could have because of what that teacher said. Someone can't fall in love anymore because you can't forget what they did to you. Broke the trust, broke the loyalty, stepped out on you when you thought they were being faithful, and then gave a lame excuse. And you stood there or sat there and you took it, but you've never forgotten. And so you've arrived in church praising God for what he's done. But the problem is you've got a memory problem. There are some things you ought to let go, but you hold on to. And then there are some things that you let go of that you ought to keep close to you. Can I preach just for a minute? See, you'll hold on to your hurts. And you'll hold on to your disappointments, and you'll hold on to your frustrations, and you'll hold on to what they did to you, but you will soon forget what God has done for you. You will recall vividly what they said to you. You can recall what they did to you like it happened just yesterday. But some of you can't even remember that God woke you up last week, that God provided that need last year, that 10 years ago you were not in the position that you're in right now. You done forgot all of that, but you remember vividly what they've done to you. I just stopped by this morning to tell you some things you ought to let go of and some things you ought to remember. Somebody ought to remember that you serve a faithful God.
Somebody ought to remember that in spite of what you're going through right now, God is still worthy of the praise. Someone ought to remember that even though I'm down right now, I've been down in the past, but the God I serve brought me up back then, and God will bring me up right now. And then therefore, that shifts the worship. So therefore, I don't focus in on what I'm lacking, but I focus in on the God that I serve. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I don't need the program to tell me to get happy. I don't need the preacher or the choir to preach or shout me to get happy. I can just praise him because I remember what he did for me. I remember what he brought me through. I remember how he kept me. Is there anybody here that can just throw one hand up and say, preacher, I remember? Yeah. But we've got a memory problem. Some things we hold on to, we ought to let go. And some things we let go of that we ought to keep close. Can I go a little further? It's not only in our personal life, but it seems as though we have a memory problem in the church. We don't forget in the church. We don't forget. Some have been in churches for so long that they are constantly reminding people of how long they've been there. Not in Mount Olive, only in Messiah. Some members have been doing what they've been doing for so long that God has become, and God and Christ have now moved to the background because of their responsibilities in the church. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've been serving here for 40 years. They can't let you forget. And even when you want to forget, when given the opportunity, they remind you that their families built the church. They remind you that without their $10, the lights would not be on. They remind you that they put the bricks on the building when it was built. And I'm not making light of it, for all of us have made sacrifices in the kingdom of God, but we've got to keep things in the proper perspective, because the last time that I checked, that $10 will not help somebody get into heaven. The last time that I checked, the brick that you laid was not an entrance into the kingdom of God. The thing that reminds me of what is of importance is that seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if I'm going to talk about anything, I need to be telling somebody about a man named Jesus. I need to be telling somebody that he came down through 40 and two generations, and he died for a sinner like me, and he died for a sinner like you. Let me push pause real quick. Not only do we forget why we're here, but we've forgotten where we've come from. You know, it's amazing in the church. I can say this. I've been doing this for 10 years. I know church folk. I've been in church all my life. Church folk have selective memory. Yep, they do. See, there's a difference between a Christian and a church member. Now, that's another sermon for another day, but I just need to take 2 points from it, and I'm done. You see, church members always talk about themselves, and they always put themselves in a positive light. Christians always talk about Christ and are usually hesitant to talk about themselves. Now the question is, preacher, why is it that church members talk about themselves and Christians don't want to talk about themselves? Well, it has to do with memory, because a church member only remembers what they have done, whereas a Christian remembers what God has done. Stay with me. And so a church member forgets, watch this, where they came from. They forgot what they used to be like, and they've become focused on what they look like now. But a Christian realizes that I look this way, but I remember what I used to be like. But I thank Jesus that I don't look like that any longer. But now we go a little farther. This is my second point. My second point is, but once we become members in the church and a new member comes in bringing baggage with them A church member will not forget their sins, whereas a Christian will look beyond what they've done because they realize that just a couple of years ago, that was me coming down the aisle. And so where a church member will remind you of your past, a Christian will celebrate your future. How many Christians we got in the house today? How many people can say, by the grace of God, he turned my life around? By the grace of God, he gave me a new start. By the grace of God, he cleaned me up. Don't be fooled by the suits. Don't be dismayed by the hats. You need to understand that I got a testimony. I've done some things, but I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And I ain't gonna ever forget what Jesus has done for me. But Paul says there are some things that you ought to forget. Paul must not have been raised with my grandma, because grandma told me never to forget. And Paul is saying, forget. Here he is. The writer of this book is bound in a Roman cell. The end of his ministry and his life is close at hand. He has written a letter to this church at Philippi to encourage them in their faith, but then also to make a personal confession. Confession that states parenthetically that I ain't there yet. Paul is in jail. This gospel globetrotter has spanned numerous countries, cities, and villages. He's now imprisoned, will not be released. There will be no pardon or stay of execution. The end of his days are at hand. But he takes the time to write this church at Philippi to tell them, I ain't there yet. He's making a confession from his prison cell. Why is he making a confession? Because there are those at Philippi who have said, because of their faith in Christ, they have now become perfect Christians. There were those at this church at Philippi that were declaring, because of their tenure in knowing Christ and serving Christ, that they had reached Christian perfection. And before Paul takes his last breath, he has to straighten out a few theological matters in helping that church and maybe this church understand that there are no perfect Christians. And Paul says that I ain't there yet. Now, why is he declaring that he's not there yet? Because if there's anyone other than Jesus Christ who could claim perfection, it would be Paul. You know his story. Started out the Jew of Jews, circumcised and studied law, on his way to persecute Christians because he wanted to uphold the Jewish faith. Had a confrontation with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Once he got his eyesight restored, Paul lived a life of faith. Wrote letters and epistles, words of encouragement, missionary tours. There's anyone that could have been looked upon as perfect. Paul could have easily stepped to the front forefront, pointed the finger in his direction and said, you're looking at it. But Paul says, from a Roman cell, I ain't there yet. Two things he's showing me. One, he's saying I'm not there, but he also says yet. Which means Paul understands that I'm not there right now, but I will be. Y'all falling asleep on me. See, the thing about Christianity is tenure does not give you perfection. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. And when I first arrived at Messiah 10 years ago, I said that very first sermon. I'm not impressed with how long you've been here. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed how long you've been. Because the funny thing is, I've got some friends who it took them 10 years to graduate from undergrad. They don't get gold stars for staying in college longer. I'm still working my way through seminary 5-6 years in. I ain't getting no gold stars. But somehow it seems as though the longer we're in the church, we get more gold stars, and that brings us closer to perfection. I don't know about you. I might get run out of this, out of here for saying this, but I've seen some folk who've been in church all their life, and they just been in church all their life. I'm going to keep that moving. They show up on time, Bible in hand, hat on head, suit on their body, but keeps up more than you know what. And so you wonder, what's the purpose of being here? But also have met some new members, new to the faith, new to Jesus Christ, but came in with a heart filled with love and wanting to serve God. So don't be impressed by the tenure, but what you want to be impressed is by the relationship. It's the relationship. And Paul says, I ain't there yet. I ain't there yet. Doesn't make a difference how long you've been working, you've been serving, you've been preaching, you've been singing, you've been praying. You're still not there yet. For you don't arrive by your works, but you arrive by your relationship. And until you die, all of us will be in this perfection mode that God is constantly molding and shaping us into the perfect beings he desires us to be. But that will not happen until we see Christ face to face. Turn to your neighbor, just tell him, you ain't perfect. You ain't perfect. I know they look perfect, don't they? They look like they got it all together right now. And so Paul says, I ain't there yet. And then he goes to say, I've not achieved it, but I'm focusing on one thing. Forgetting what's behind and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul helps us understand that in order to reach this level of perfection based upon this relationship with Jesus Christ, there's some things that have got to happen. I've got to forget the past, and I've got to focus on what's ahead. Paul says you got to forget. The Christian has to forget. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, preacher, but you're speaking out of both sides. One minute you tell us don't forget, and then the next minute you're saying Paul says do forget. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I ain't trying to confuse you, but Paul is saying don't forget. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget what your life used to be like. Don't forget that he rescued you in the midnight hour. Don't forget that he was the only one by your side. Don't forget that when family and friends forsook you, God was there. Don't forget that he gave you the strength to live. Don't forget that he gave you the mind to think. Don't forget that he gave you the voice to sing. Don't forget that he gave you the hands to serve. Don't forget that he gave you the feet to walk. Don't forget what God has done. But in terms of yourself, forget. Because if you don't forget what you've done, the accolades, they will hinder you from moving forward to where God is. Okay, let me see if I get an example. Y'all really getting quiet on me. So I've got an uncle. I've got a relative back in Ohio. He's cool. I mean, he's close to 80 now. And he's still living like he's 40-something. Y'all know them? He wears his shirts with the wide collars. The button is all the way open down to his chest. Y'all know them kind? He still drives a Cadillac, but not the 2014 model. And every time that I see him, he's always talking about the past. He's always talking about how he used to be in the past. And what I realized, and I had to humor him, but I said, you know what? You've talked so much about the past that you've gotten stuck in your present. And he hasn't moved forward because he's constantly talking about the past. This is where I used to go. And this is what I used to have. And he always has a hand in his pocket. And he's jangling his pocket like it's some money. But it ain't no money in it no more. It ain't no money. But he got that cool jangle. And he said, this is what I used to do. And this is where I used to go. And this is where we used to travel. And it's always used to. And so I said, well, what are you doing now? Well, I'm retired now. Well, what are you doing? Well, I ain't doing nothing now. I go to McDonald's in the morning. And I get some coffee in the afternoon. I'm asleep by 8. But this is what I used to do. Couldn't stop me back then, but you could stop him right now. And I realize that that's a phenomenon that many people have, is that they get so focused on the yesteryear and the yesterdays that they fail to appreciate and understand that God has value in their present, and God has something even more meaningful in the future. Paul says you've got to forget the past and you've got to focus in. Why is Paul saying forget the past? Paul has to forget his past because he had a sordid past, but he also had a great past. Paul was the one who persecuted Christians. Paul was the one who made sure that Stephen was stoned. Paul was the one who said, over my dead body. But then once he encountered Jesus Christ, Christ gave him a different perspective. And now Paul was able to preach sermons that he could not preach on his own. Paul was able to write letters that he could not write on his own. Paul was able to travel and do ministry that he could not do on his own. But he had to always push the forget button, because if he ever thought that he was doing it on his own, he would soon exclude God from the formula. And I want to know how many people today, you've arrived where you are right now and you have forgotten that God has brought you to where you are right now. God has rescued you. God has saved you. God has elevated you. You have positions. You have letters behind your name. And you have forgotten that God has brought you here. I dare you to be like Paul and push forget. I want you to forget what you've done yesterday and realize that God has some new mercies for you this morning. God has some new blessings for you this morning. God's got some new opportunities for you this morning. And you can't encounter the newness if you stay focused on the past. I believe it was Denzel Washington. I believe it was Ed Gordon who interviewed Denzel Washington after he had won his Oscar for Training Day. Ed Gordon was having this one-on-one interview with Denzel. Denzel had won the Best Actor category, the Oscar for Training Day. And Ed Gordon said, Denzel, out of all of the roles that you've had, what's your favorite role? What's your best role? And Ed Gordon began to call down all of the things that Denzel had done, not only on Broadway and on television, but on the big screen. And Denzel sat there calm and cool. You know how he does. He said, actually, Ed, I'll tell you, my best role is my next role. That went right over your head, so let me repeat it. I said, we're talking about Denzel Washington. He accomplished things on TV. He accomplished things on the Broadway stage and on the big screen. He had already received accolades leading up to Training Day. And Ed Gordon asked him, what was your favorite role? And Denzel says, my best role is not what I've done in the past, but my best role is actually what I'm going to do in the future. Oh, I thought I'd get more people shouting, because I don't know what you've done in your past, but you ain't seen nothing about what my future has to offer. How many people can give God a praise for your future? Paul says, you've got to forget the past, and I'm looking forward to the future. Let me go a little farther. But Paul is not talking about a movie role. Paul is not talking about the next job. Paul is not talking about a new home. Paul is not talking about a four-door sedan. Paul is not talking about moving from where you are to a better suburb. Paul is not talking about relocating to Miami or LA. But Paul is talking about being in pursuit of one person. And that one person ain't a man you gonna marry. It ain't a woman you gonna hook up with. That one person ain't somebody somebody who's going to help you get a job. But that one person that Paul says, I'm seeking after, is the one who saved my soul. I'm seeking after the one who has made me whole. I'm seeking after the one who can give me life for today and everlasting life in the future. Paul says, forget the past and seek the future, because Jesus is right ahead in your future. Is there anybody here that can thank God for what your future looks like? As long as Christ is in your future is bright. Okay. He's in jail. He's writing this letter. And he's telling this church to forget. Forget the past. Even if they don't forget your past, you forget it. Let it go, because God has some things for your future. You can't keep moving the pace that you're moving focused on the past. Good, bad, or indifferent, you've got to let it go. But never let go of God. Pursue your future. What lies ahead, because Jesus Christ is there at the finish line. And if you can keep your eyes on him and not lose focus of any and everything that may hinder you along this journey, you will receive a prize. That lesson was truly made evident this week as I visited one of my senior members. Her memory is going right before our very eyes. It's slowly seeping away. As I sat there with her for a few minutes, patted her hand, began to recall some of the things, that some of the experiences that she and I had shared over a 10-year period. And she just stared at me. I wasn't sure. I could tell she didn't remember. I wasn't even sure if she remembered me. Her mind was gone. We had prayer. Her daughter is ready to release her. And as I'm leaving, she says, I do know one thing, that Jesus will come and get me. No, y'all not. I said, you don't understand, because she done forgot everything. She doesn't recall birthdays. She may not even know her name. But she said that Jesus is coming to get her. I thought y'all feel this, but I guess not. So I'm going on to sit down. But when all else is gone, you can forget your name. You can get your home address. You can forget your telephone number. You can forget your home church. You can forget your pastor's name. You can forget what choir you sung in. You can forget the lyrics to Amazing Grace. You can forget the words to the 23rd Psalm. You can forget. You can forget the movies Denzel starred in. You can forget what year you graduated from high school. You may not even remember the diplomas hanging on your wall. You might not even remember your anniversary date. You might not even remember your children's birthday. You may not even remember your grandchildren's names. You may not even remember how to get to church. But before you leave out of here, you can forget everything. But there's one thing. There's one name that you should not forget. Because when all else fails, his name is Jesus Christ. And when nobody else will remember you, he will remember you. His name is Jesus. You can forget your portfolio. You can forget your bank account number. You can forget your passwords on your iPad. But don't forget the name of Jesus. You might be down on your luck. Friends might be few. Family may have turned their back. But don't forget the name of Jesus. There is a name that I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? What's his name?